This is one of those, you could be watching Great British Bake Off, but now you have to do a podcast moment, isn't it?
That's what it is right now. Also, 8:49 at night.
We're gonna do it real fast.
Mistakes were made.
We had to watch one episode of Bake Off. I'm Hank Green, and I am internet famous.
I'm his wife, Catherine. Every day.
Together, we're about to take a look back at the last week in our lives and in the world by reading, discussing, and critiquing my tweets. Welcome to
Delete This.
Hey, all right. We have decided to start the podcast by looking at the top tweet of the week, according to people who submitted me top tweets of the week. I only let people do this over the Delete This account this week instead of through Hank Green. So I got fewer submissions than usual, and we're stuck with this one from Thor Stenhaug, who says, my 13-year-old brother has been cast in his school production of Mamma Mia. It's him and 16 girls. He's playing all three dads. I'm dead.
That's not possible.
To play all three dads?
Yeah.
Are they in the same room at the same time?
Yeah.
I've not seen the stage production of Mamma Mia.
They're on the stage a bunch, a lot.
There's a mirror. They've got a three-way mirror.
He's like the three-headed Broadway star. He has two fake heads on.
And it's like levers for each hand that makes the mouth go.
Just making the two extra heads go.
I mean, just have a lady play the other two dads.
Why is a school with 13-year-olds in it doing a production of Mamma Mia?
That's a good question. That makes me wonder if this is not a lie. Thor Stenhaug, explain yourself.
Have you lied? Are you lying on the internet? That's not allowed.
How did your school get the rights to Mamma Mia? It's barely off Broadway.
Our community theater just did it.
Oh, okay.
But
I didn't go see Mamma Mia. Oh. Well.
No. Surprisingly, you were out of town.
Oh, I missed Mamma Mia.
I went with your dad. Who is a better dad than you?
Oh! I'm gonna have to just talk about that later. Talk about that one later.
Now.
Have a conversation.
He was probably a worse dad than you.
When I was growing up.
When you were little.
Yeah, and he also had a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
It's not like Oren was going to see Mamma Mia.
Nope.
It's not like he wasn't
in it.
He wasn't
playing the three dads.
If Oren was one of the three dads or all of the three dads in Mamma Mia, I would be there.
You would have been there.
I would have been there. Cancel all my business trips. Thank you for that, Thor, for that top tweet. That was definitely not the top tweet of the week.
It's not it.
But I did get a lot of love there.
Good material.
From the world.
Moving on.
So what is that tweet that you identified from me that I tweeted while I was in Australia?
Sometimes I like doing things I don't want to do.
Yeah. That was a very Australia, VidCon Australia experience for me.
Oh boy, there's a lot of activation energy that goes into that though. You gotta really, really, really push yourself
through it. You gotta go up a big hill.
Such a big hill.
It's like a 22-hour hill.
Like you're still going up it.
And my legs hurt.
Ugh.
And I'm sick now. And I'm so stiff. And I can't sleep like normal. I have not had a normal night's sleep since I've been back.
It's bad for everyone.
Yeah, it's like, Catherine, can you take care of Oren for a week while I'm in Australia and also a week after I get home while I'm completely incapacitated by jet lag and illness?
Yep.
Thanks, babe.
I'm fine. I'm sleeping great.
We're
and
all
also,
fine.
I don't also have a cold.
Yeah.
But I've just suppressed it with willpower. Mommies.
No vacation days.
Definitely a little more testy with everyone
this week
than normal.
Yeah.
Even the cat is like
some of them.
I got nothing for cat.
I gotta go. I'll be
right now.
Be downstairs. Also on September 2nd, I very nearly convinced some Australians that in America we call committing a crime doing a sneaky.
I mean, that's an amazing phrase, and I think it should be in common parlance.
Yeah. Well, it's a very Australian way of saying things.
Mm.
They have a thing for everything.
Okay.
And there's lots of, like, brekkie. for breakfast. So they like the E noise.
Yeah.
The second time I did it, like 100%, I was like, now I have to tell you that I've been lying.
That this was a lie.
So that you don't spread this around. And that was a very top-ish tweet. I wish I could make this my top tweet of the week. What's the best way to deal with sneaky people? Catherine typed in doing a sneaky.
I just wanted to see if doing a sneaky was a phrase
anywhere.
Well,
what is a sneaky?
I don't know.
Oh, according to Urban Dictionary, a sneaky is something done quietly behind your friend's backs as to not be embarrassed later.
All right.
So when you do a sneaky, it's like, you know, watching Mamma Mia with your family because your brother is in the production and playing all three dads. You got to support your brother, Thor. Anthony Padilla says, petition to make this a reality. Andrew Huang says, OMG, that sounds like such an Australian thing, though. Maureen Johnson just gave me a bunch of thumbs up. It was a good tweet, and I wish that I hadn't tweeted the other tweet that was my top tweet of the week, which we'll get to very shortly, because I wish that was my top tweet of the week.
I'm looking forward to telling you to delete that.
Mac Rogers tweeted, has anyone actually literally thrown a book they disliked across a room? And Joseph says 90% of the people answering yes to this are lying. But I know for a fact that you have done this.
Oh, yes. Definitely once, probably more than once, calculus textbook.
Yeah.
F that thing all the way to the other side of my dorm room.
Talk about doing something you don't want to do. There's a lot of activation energy to learning calculus.
I didn't like it.
And you don't even like it once you're doing it. I would love to have had the kind of education or the kind of mentality that allowed me to enjoy calculus, but I did not, and thus have like a permanent block on it.
Yeah, no, that was miserable. And I would like to never remember that.
Was like 7:30 in the morning. Like, why do you teach calculus at that time?
Why are you making me get up my first semester of college at 8 a.m. to learn calculus?
I'm a college student. I have things to do at the night time.
Not even. It's just like everything else is so hard.
So Joseph Fink, Catherine has done that. And I believe that it broke
some things. Well, I'm in the
10% then. You are in the
10%. I definitely broke the book.
Oh, you broke the book.
Yeah, and then I couldn't, like, get my money back for it. Which was, like...
really too bad.
That was the worst, because I definitely paid, like, $70 for it.
Well, leading into... What a great segue, Catherine, to my September 3rd top tweet of the week. Mm. Michio Kakutani says, textbook prices have skyrocketed over the past few years, and some college students are skipping meals to pay for their books. And I looked at this graph, Catherine, and textbooks were expensive when we were in college.
Yeah.
And that was literally the place, like, when we were in college was when the graph started.
Oh, no.
And it was just a straight up line, and then, like, cost of living increase was on there, and it was, like, basically flat compared to how up this graph was.
Of course.
And they, like, sort of evened out a little bit during some recession-y times, but then have, like, gone up even faster to make up for that. And it makes me so mad.
Why?
I know. It's just, what are you doing to the books that's making them worth so much more money? It just seems like it's just, once again, taking advantage of inelastic demand. Like, you have to buy the book that your professor tells you to buy, and that's it. That's the end of the, like, you can't not buy it, so you have to pay whatever they'll charge. And
well, it's also like, what am I paying? What is my tuition for?
Yeah. Why can't this be part of that?
What is this? I'm giving you all of this money. Why am I also giving other
people all of this
money? Like, why?
Is there, isn't there some competition that can drive the prices down? Probably not, because probably they collude with each other. Probably there's two textbook companies, and they're like, you know,
we'll stay out of your markets if you stay out of ours.
You raise, like, don't, like, compete on price.
Ugh.
So I tweeted, fuck every single human who has gotten filthy rich selling textbooks. And that was my top tweet of the week, Catherine.
Oopsie.
With the 15,000 likes.
Well.
And look.
I don't think you should delete that.
I guess. But, like, I know that it's more complicated than I think it is. Like, that's the thing that I know about the world. Whenever I think something is very simple and there's a bunch of bad people doing bad things, something is making it more complicated. Who's getting rich is the question, and yeah. I honestly don't know. I do know that the people who like write really popular like biology and chemistry textbooks, the like named authors on the front, do get quite wealthy. They probably don't think of themselves as getting quite wealthy. They probably make $500,000 a year, and they're like, oh, well, that's, you know, normal. I'm not like the 1% or anything. And it's like, yeah, you are. That's what it is.
That's that.
You're there. Congrats.
That's it.
Look at yourself in the mirror and be like, I am a wealthy person, and admit that, and admit that your money comes from inelastic demand. So I don't know, man. I don't know how to fix that problem, but it seems fixable because it seems like there's probably a little space in that market for somebody to come in and compete on price.
What the heck?
Yeah. So a lot of people had some thoughts on that, but like, and a lot of people were also talking about like how their teachers thought actively about not using textbooks that were more expensive, and that is good, but like clearly it is not the whole story.
Right, that shouldn't be a thing that teachers have to do.
I know.
Like, they should be able to use the best
yeah.
materials for the course that they're teaching.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have to find the cheapest ones.
Yeah, but and like looking back, like I'm like, those books, I didn't use them that much.
Nope.
We didn't, like, certainly didn't use all the chapters in them. And then they, like, have a new edition every 3 years, so yeah. You can't trade in the old book.
Nope.
Or you threw it across the room and broke it.
Yeah. And maybe some other stuff in your room, too, probably.
Yeah, and also scared your boyfriend.
Yeah. That was, like, your first vision of what lies beneath. Oh, so cute.
He's so sweet,
quiet.
And funny. Scratch the surface a little bit.
Here's my rage.
And there's a little...
That's my secret, Hank.
There's a deep well of rage.
I'm always
there.
Angry.
September 4th, I'm back in America and I'm feeling like T-R-A-S-H. And my favorite thing about this tweet is that people then took that as a challenge.
Yes, the responses were amazing. Yeah. Oh, God, it was 5 days ago, and you're still feeling like T-R-A-S-H. Frick, going to Australia every year.
It's so hard.
Stop it.
It's hard.
Ugh. The reason Americans stay home is really great. Yeah.
Feeling like 12 really amorous seahorses was one of my favorites.
Totally ready to attack the Senate and the House. This is a really good one, actually.
That is how I'm feeling. In fact, I do it later on in the week in a tweet.
Prophetic, that one.
So, Catherine.
Time zone readjustment annihilates Sleepy Hank is...
Very accurate.
The very accurate. Thank you for all of your responses.
All of your responses. So I searched for my name. So on Twitter, if people reply you, at Hank Green, I'll see it. It'll just show up in like my mentions. But if I want to see people talking about me without...
Adding you?
Without adding me, I can do that. I can just search Hank Green in quotation marks.
But it's like...
I know, it's a little bit like peeping.
Yeah.
But I've been doing this because my book is coming out. And so like there are people talking about like publishing articles, like reviews, and I'm not seeing them because they're not adding me. So I have been looking at it, and I will occasionally come across things that I probably shouldn't have seen.
Yeah.
Like this tweet that says, Daddy Hank Green is teaching me about the digestive system, and he just told me that we're all donuts. I just had to screenshot that and share it.
It's good.
And I tweeted this in part to let people know that I've been tweeting on my... creeping on my name in Twitter search, and a couple people were like... I'll be right back.
I gotta delete a few things. I got a few things to delete.
But it's so weird, that line between public and private, and how this, like, that a search term can feel like a privacy violation, that I've, like, come into your kind of semi-private space to see what you're saying about me when you intentionally said that you didn't want it to show up in my feed.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, if they'd wanted you to see it, they would have added you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they didn't want me to see it, but it's still there for me to see if I look.
I don't search my name on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yo.
That's probably for the best.
Yeah. Do you search my name on Twitter?
No, I've never searched your name on Twitter.
Amazing.
What?
Doesn't care.
I was just looking for book reviews. This is a new thing.
Oh, so
it honestly, it happened because I found out about a book review like 5 days after it came out, and I was like, geez, I should have seen that. And I found out about it because somebody was like, at Hank Green, have you seen this? And it was like, Hank Green, you know, but not at Hank Green.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So, whatever. Maybe I should just set up a Google alert. It probably would be better. September 5th. I've been packing up from Australia for a while. Oof. I got some heartburn because of how I woke up ravenously hungry at 3 a.m. and ate half a can of refried beans. Jet lag is fun.
Yeah, it's fun. It makes you make terrible decisions.
Yeah, there aren't a lot of great bean decisions.
Most of the decisions involving beans, not high quality.
I mean, Mendel, he made some great bean decisions. Those were peas, weren't they?
Yes. Those are the most legumes.
I guess.
General beans. General beans.
General beans. I had the worst heartburn
I've maybe ever had
in my life. After what Haneen says, why did you choose beans?
It kept going.
I didn't choose beans.
Beans chose him.
Beans were there.
The beans came out of the fridge and were like, knock, knock, Hank.
Hello?
It's 3 a.m. Wouldn't you like to eat us with some Triscuits?
We're slimy.
Wouldn't you just like to slurp down us beans?
Get a spoon.
Put us in a push pop.
Oh my god. Beautiful.
You just had to check to make sure we were recording that we didn't lose that.
I got scared. Couldn't you just eat carrots, Hank?
There weren't any carrots.
There weren't any carrots.
There weren't any carrots. You gotta know, at the end of a week alone, there weren't a lot of options in the fridge.
There were beans.
There were beans, and there were probably eggs. So, like...
Yeah, I could have cooked an egg. Or maybe there was hard-boiled eggs. I could have had a hard-boiled egg. That would probably have been a better decision. So September 5th, something has happened in the news. Anonymous letter written by a senior White House staffer of some sort. And the word lodestar was in it. And that made
lodestar?
People, I believe.
Lodestar?
Lodestar. Was that right?
That's not a word.
Lodestar. Yeah,
that's,
lodestar.
It's a
star
word.
That is used to guide the course of a ship.
All right, okay.
That is a word that Mike Pence has used in speeches, and so people were using that as a way to guess that Mike Pence had been the one who wrote this letter.
Oh, well, who's writing his speeches?
Exactly. That was something a lot of people mentioned. But this, James asks... What is the word choice that would give you away as the author of an anonymous op-ed? I got there.
I liked what happened on the way, though. We're just taking a little journey.
Do you have any idea what yours would be?
The word?
Yeah, that
just
would,
like one word?
Yeah, a word that you would say that people would be like, oh, that was Catherine Green.
No. Do I have a word?
I don't know. I said either thoughtfulness or value creation or fucking.
Probably closer to fucking.
My dad, it would just be ellipsis.
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous or gorgeous. Everything is gorgeous with my dad. But it is gorgeous.
He's not wrong.
A lot of good answers to this. Professor Gett says metric buttload.
Nugget?
Nugget?
Nugget is one of the ones that comes out of me sometimes.
Yep. The Waffles King says, let me submit that. John, Sports with John says, let me submit that. And John says, in reply, let me submit that mine would actually be, I would argue.
Oh my God. Well.
Megan Tonja says, dick.
Just dick.
What is her song?
Oh.
Do you remember it? It was so good.
Yes.
The bee.
Who's gonna fuck that dick? I'm gonna fuck that dick.
Who's gonna fuck that dick? I'm gonna fuck that dick. Who's gonna fuck that dick? I'm gonna fuck that dick. Who's gonna fuck that dick? I'm gonna fuck that dick. Who's gonna fuck that dick?
That is an hour-long loop of that. So in case you ever want to have that happen to you for an hour, that video has 1,000 views. That's the best thing that happened because of Snapchat. September 6th, we announced that we were having a relationship, a podcasting relationship with WNYC Studios, Catherine. But
well, we're not.
Our podcast is not part of
you
that.
You and I are not.
No. We being me and John.
Yeah.
And our production company.
Great. Congrats. Does that mean it says WNYC at the beginning of your podcast now?
I don't think it does.
All right.
But we have also been recording some new episodes of SciShow's Lightly Competitive Knowledge Showcase SciShow Tangents for about a month, and it's very fun. And I just wanted to let you know about it in case you wanted to know about it, people who listen to the podcast. And then I found this picture.
There will be more podcasts for you to listen to in the future. Hooray!
Hooray! I found this picture that was part of the sequence of me shooting myself in the face with champagne.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so good. We hadn't released that one yet. We were trying to find a picture of me and John being together and me not looking like an idiot.
Yeah.
There weren't really any.
Not a bunch.
I'm not sure why we didn't, while at that photo shoot, be like, hey, can you take one where I'm not an idiot?
You did have one where you were both wearing suits.
Yeah, but I'm wearing like my bad suit with my big tie.
Yeah. I was like, who let him wear that tie and or stand there with his jacket unbuttoned?
Yeah, it's better just me shooting myself in the face with champagne.
Yeah.
That's better. Because at least you know what's going on. I love that Tube Filter used that photo.
Your forearm looks good, too.
Yeah, Catherine likes forearms. So.
Just flex them. Just keep flexing.
I'm trying to. I've got to work my forearms for my girl. September 7th, my wife just made a joke that is so funny that I'm writing a whole scene in my book to use it.
I mean, it was really funny in the moment.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still funny.
I think it'll be pretty funny in the book.
It's still funny, but I don't think it'll be the same kind of funny.
No. I think, yeah, it depends. It depends on how I set the scene.
Yeah, you got to build the emotion.
Yeah.
You got to build the emotion like we were building the emotion in our life.
Yeah. Catherine broke some tension.
In order for that, joke. In order for that joke to work.
Yeah. Taha wants to collab with you on a YouTube video.
What?
I don't know. He says, can I collab with you, Catherine, on a YouTube video? Please and thank you.
I don't... That's too vague.
Yeah. Catherine needs a full proposal.
Send me one of those NDAs and NBDs.
NBDs. Yeah, send her an NBD.
PBD. Send me some BVDs. Send me the ABC BVDs.
Uh-huh, good. And a push pop with beans in it. Dirty Silky says, the main thing I've learned from Delete This is that Catherine is one of the funniest people alive. But added you when they did it.
I know, right?
Don't at Catherine.
For mistakes. You can use my name. Don't use my Twitter name. Don't take my Twitter name in vain.
Sure. I got the final version of my book this week.
Yes.
Terrifying.
I spent like a whole day taking pictures of it in different places.
I did take a lot of pictures. We were watching TV.
Yeah, we were
watching Great British Bake Off, actually.
It was funny, though.
Yeah. Like, thanks for not mocking me in the moment.
Still taking a lot of pictures of that thing. Just really trying to get the right, just get all the good angles on it.
Well, dude, I needed the good angles. Such a pretty book. I'm very happy.
It does look great. Looks great. Feels great. Less filling.
September 8th. There's an editorial that gets published in The Guardian, or I guess just an article, about how hard it is to be a YouTuber.
I have not read it. I opened it today and I was like, never mind. I don't really want to know.
About this. It says the YouTube star is heading for burnout. The most fun job imaginable became deeply bleak.
Jesus.
Why are so many YouTubers finding themselves stressed, lonely, and exhausted?
Maybe because it's not a sustainable business model.
I can answer that question to some extent. It is a lonely job a lot of the time, but also, it's...
You got the wrong motivations?
Yeah, well, in those moments when you're trying to make it, and like this is the time you have to capitalize on it. It's just like you are trying to, like, you got to work so hard now to make to make it work, unless you get pretty lucky. That, yeah, it is hard. I'm very lucky to have done it when I did it and have been able to be a little bit less gung-ho. Mm. Though, certainly, I have had my moments of overextending myself.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
A few moments.
A few...
Okay. Years.
Yeah.
Or at least months.
Definitely months.
Definitely been some overextended months.
Yep. And sometimes it comes at you and you don't know it's coming. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, like two things went wrong at the same time.
Yeah. Or,
oh, the internet, like a big piece of the internet's really mad at me.
Oh, God, yeah.
And then you gotta live in that world for a while. All right, Catherine. It's time for a draft tweet from Hank Greaves. It's tweets that I didn't tweet. I wrote the tweets and I didn't tweet them. It's draft tweets from Hank. We dropped energy here, but that's okay.
I'm on Facebook. Don't try to tell me not to be on Facebook. You want me to be here?
So here's... I have four. Let me read maybe max two.
Okay, great.
This is four words, each followed by a period. Make America boring again. That's how I'm feeling right now.
Seriously.
It's too much drama coming out of Pennsylvania Avenue.
So many drama.
I don't know how to follow all this.
Dramas.
And it's such a big shit show that everything seems normal now.
Yeah, it's the shittiest show.
Everything seems normal now, Catherine. No matter how outrageous it is. I don't know. Should I read this one? Randian capitalists basically worship at
probably
the church
not.
Of their own dicks.
That's not really a good one. That one doesn't really achieve anything useful.
Yeah, I didn't feel like it really sort of encapsulated what I was really trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this makes a lot of sense in my head, but I don't feel like it's going to make sense in most people's head. Okay, Catherine, here's my tweets from 5 years ago today, September 2nd. Spent the morning in bed sharing earbuds with Catherine listening to Night Vale.
Hmm.
Holiday.
Holiday is different now.
Yeah.
Huh.
We gotta wake up in the morning and
we don't spend any mornings in bed.
No. It's just like being awake in bed in the morning. That ended 2 years ago.
I mean, does like 5 a.m. count?
Yeah, or like 3 a.m.?
Yeah, because I'm awake in bed
that happens
at 5
sometimes.
A.m. lots.
Ugh.
I'm also sorry. 3 a.m. lots.
But my top tweet of the week 5 years ago was, I'm writing a song in Shakespearean English, and I just wrote an amazing line that I can't use because one word is now extremely vulgar. Dag! It was pretty vulgar back then, too,
Those were also different days.
Those were different days.
The time when you had time to, like, try and write a song in Shakespearean English.
Yeah.
Huh.
That was a long time ago. Also, apparently, last week was the first time I ever met Alan Lestufka in real life. That seems like longer ago than that to me.
It does.
But,
oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Catherine, I didn't tweet at Trump this week.
Yeah.
And now we're going to move on to our viral moments of joy. I've just got this one. It's a kitty cat. It's two kitty cats. And I assume that they're making good noises at each other. So I'm going to turn on the audio. Is this what you guys do?
Oh, man. Those are some good kitty faces and talks.
What is this noise?
You not seen the one where they like make them say things?
Oh yeah, you've seen it, but like with actual words.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that
is an old video.
Yes.
Yeah, totally.
That is a super old video, and it's been dubbed.
It's been.
I mean, I feel like I've seen that cat dub.
Mm-hmm.
It's, yeah.
And here, my friends, is a chicken walking on some wet concrete.
Oh no, chicken!
Chicken, stop that. Stop it.
Oh, no, chicken.
Stop it.
How are you going to clean your feet off?
They're covered in concrete now.
Your feet are covered in concrete. Oh, my God.
This guy's trying to grab the chicken, and it's like, no, I don't want it. I want to keep walking on this.
I'm going to put more prints in it. It's cool. At least the guys are still there.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. He's like, well, I might as well. I'm going to have to redo this all anyway. Oh, my God. The chicken is just not having it.
It's like, I like it, actually. You know what?
This feels great.
You know what my favorite place in the world is? It's your wet concrete, my man.
Well, you're going to live there in a minute, chicken. Yeah. It's going to be the end of your life.
Oh.
Oh, no.
And here's a dachshund that has paralyzed back legs walking around in his little dachshund cart. Hoip, 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 hoip.
Oh.
Hoip, 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 hoip.
He's got such sass.
I got such sass. So thank you for sending in your viral moments of joy, everyone. We can't do reviews this week because we don't have enough time, but if you would like to see what we talked about over the week, you can check out our show notes at Delete This Pod on Twitter. If you would like to send us questions, comments, or viral moments of joy, you can please use that hashtag Pipples, that's P-I-P-L-E-S. Thank you to Andrew Huang for the use of his track Everything Will Be Alright from his album Love and Desolation. Thank you all so much for listening.
See you later. Here's your tweet from Susie Dent. If anyone needs a smile this morning, I've just stumbled across the 16th century word pinch fart, a miser, or tightwad. This is up there with shiviness, the uncomfortable feeling of new underwear.
I find new underwear to be perfectly comfortable. I guess that's just the luxury of living in 2018.
That's right.